Just give me 1 second.
Sure.
Hey. 2 minutes. Thank you. Hi, good afternoon. Sorry about
that. Hey, Oi.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
Have you ever done one of these interviews over the camera before?
No.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the job to get started with. It's not just a job. It's sort of probably the most important job. The title that we have going right now is Director of Operations, but it's really kind of so much more than that.
Responsibilities and requirements are really quite extensive.
First category for the requirements would be mobility. This job requires that you must be able to work standing up most or really all of the time, constantly on your feet, constantly bending over, constantly exerting yourself, a high level of stamina.
Okay.
That's a lot.
For how many hours?
135 hours to unlimited hours a week. It's basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I'm sure you'll have a chance from time to time to maybe just sit down here and there, yeah?
You mean like a break?
Yeah.
No, there are no breaks available.
Is that even legal?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So like no lunch?
You can have lunch, but only when the associate is done eating their lunch.
I think that's a little intense.
No, not
possible.
That's crazy.
Now, this position requires excellent negotiation and interpersonal skill. We're really looking for someone that might have a degree in medicine, in finance, and the culinary arts. You must be able to wear several hats. Associate needs constant attention. Sometimes they have to stay up with an associate throughout the night.
Being able to work in a chaotic environment, if you had a life, we'd ask you to sort of give that life up. No vacations. In fact, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and holidays, the workload is going to go up, and we demand that. With a happy disposition.
That's almost cruel. That's almost a very, very sick, twisted joke.
But when there's time to sleep or...
Oh, no time to sleep.
Yeah, all-encompassing, almost.
That's exactly right.
365 days a year?
Yes.
No, that's inhumane.
That's very insane.
The meaningful connections that you make and the feeling that you get from really helping your associate are immeasurable. Also, let's cover the salary. The position is going to pay absolutely nothing.
Excuse me?
No. Nobody's doing that for free.
Yeah, pro bono. Completely for free.
No!
What if I told you there's someone that actually currently holds this position right now? Billions of people, actually.
Who?
Moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moms.
That's awesome.
Oh!
And they meet every requirement, don't
wow.
they?
Oh my god. Moms are the best!
Yeah, there's no pay. They're 24 hours, they're always there.
Now I'm thinking about my mom.
Yeah, and what are you thinking about her?
I'm thinking about all those nights and everything.
Thank you so much for everything you do. I know it doesn't seem like I appreciate all of it, but I definitely do.
So, Mom, I want to say thank you for everything that you've done. I love you very much. You've been there through thick and thin. My mom is just awesome. She's awesome.
I mean, enjoyed that. That's good, right? Yeah. Moms are special, and when you kind of put it down into like a job interview or like job classifications, who on earth would take that job, right? But there are those of you that do it every day, and you do it happily, and you are honored to do it, and today is a special day, and I want to speak to you a little bit about something that I think that maybe the world is struggling with right now, and it's seeping into our relationships, and it's kind of at a basic level, because we talk a lot about love here, talk a lot about loving our neighbor and being able to love our neighbor as ourselves. We talk about love of a child and love of family. We try to create an atmosphere at this church that is an atmosphere of family, and we talk about how much God loves us. And there are some critical ingredients that have to be involved for us to truly be able to love. And I think that with the way that the world is moving and the way that our interpersonal interactions are becoming And even the way that we are starting to love people, these two elements are missing, and it's causing us not to love in a Christian manner. And it starts at our most basic relationships, and it escalates all the way up into our relationships with our family, our friends, our coworkers, people we don't know, and it enters and seeps into our relationship with Jesus Christ, okay? And the two, as you can tell on the screen, the two elements that are missing that I think are sometimes not applied and not applied in a biblical manner is the elements of honor and respect. And if you read the Bible for what it says, you are not capable to genuinely love without the elements of honor and respect. Okay? So, honor is straight up one of the, it's in the commandments. It is so important in our relationships that God included it into the Ten Commandments. And in Exodus 20, it says there, honor your father and your mother. And then this is the first commandment that comes with a promise. And it says that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Okay? So right away, we see a promise here. And you're at, probably asking yourself, so if I love my parents, it's going to add years onto my life. Well, what the underlying statement here is that the relationship and the way that you love your parents, and if honor and respect is included into that process, then that can have an absolute consequence on your health in the way that you live, in your spiritual, emotional, and physical health. Because if the breakdown of basic relationships happen, that can have a dire effect on who we are, our emotional health. Also, it can seep into our physical health. Okay? So, to honor our parents is a part of the Ten Commandments. God lays it out plainly that we are commanded to honor our father, and here on Mother's Day, our mothers. All right? And then Paul picks that up, and then he carries it forward and says, children, and this is instruction to churches that he is writing in Ephesus. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And this is what God calls us to do. And he quotes from Exodus, because he knew the law, honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Then he also reiterates that in Colossians 3, and he repeats, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So, in your Christian walk, in your spiritual life, we see here it is plainly laid out that we are commanded to have honor and respect for our parents. And also, it is clearly laid out that this is a part of who we are, and it even affects our health, our spiritual health, our emotional health. And then it is also laid out that when you do this, you are pleasing the Lord. So kind of the trifecta there of what honor and respect and how that has the implications on our lives. Now, we're going to take this out a little bit and talk about how it's implicating families, implicating communities, implicating our nation, implicating churches, all right? And this inability sometimes to have honor and respect for each other is a major issue. And it's a major issue in our families, okay? Because if you just, and I'll just, you know, I get blunt sometimes. The way that we love right now, too many times it's just selfish. We love because we get something from the person that we love. And then when that quits happening, when we quit receiving the benefits, sometimes, if you're honest with yourself, sometimes it's a challenge to continue to love that person. And even if that person does something that hurts us or wrongs us or speaks badly against us or causes something, then that love is challenged at even a greater level. All right. And if you are, and if I remind you, the greatest commandment, the two that the everything is hung on, Christianity is hung on, is love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. All right. So those are that's the commandments that everything is hung on. And then we're also to honor and love our parents, which is the most basic of relationships that we have in life. And then that is what we build. And from that is what we build into how we create a family, how we create a marriage, how we create friendships. So this is a critical recipe for what's going on in our lives every single day. How you interact with your kids, how you interact with your spouse, how you interact with people who you agree with or disagree with, and it has great implications on your spiritual health and your relationship with Jesus Christ. All right? So what is it to honor? What is the definition of honor here? And honor is to give weight or to grant a person in a position respect and even authority in your life. Okay? So it could be someone who's in a position that you are to respect and to show honor to, all right? Or to, you know, to respect them and to understand that they're in a position, so you have to show them some type of obedience and some type of, you know, reverence there, all right? Now, it also is a person who grants honor, and what we do most frequently, it's a basis on their position, status, and even their wealth, all right? But at the truest level, what we grant honor is on their, based on their character. So even people in a low standing who do not have like a big office, do not have a big job, you know, they're not, you know, someone who has gotten to a high position somewhere that receives honor from us. For instance, and I tell this story a lot, and I tell it a lot at when I speak at graduations and like at schools, is that there was a time when I was working, I had to be in Benton, Illinois early, and a little more earlier than I, you know, wanted to. And so I was coming through town, and the State Street Hucks was still open. That's how long ago this was, all right? And I would stop by there and eat two zinger or a pack of Zingers and a Mountain Dew for breakfast. And that's, if you're wondering how you get this type of physique, stay true to that breakfast, and you'll get there, okay? Don't cheat on it. Keep eating those Zingers, okay? But that's what I would stop. And then as I was coming through town that morning, I looked over, and there was my elderly grandfather sweeping the streets that he did every morning. And so I pulled over, rolled the window down, and he came over and talked to me. And he was like, "Hey, you up and at it this morning?" I said, "Yep." And he said, "This is best time of the day. You know, get everything done, get it moving." And I saw the sweat on his head. And I asked him, I said, "Hey, Papa, I want you to take a break and let me sweep." And I'll never forget his face when he looked at me and he said, "You go do your job. This is my job. This is my broom. This is what I do. This is what I get paid to do. Have a good day." And I was like, "Okay." And so as I was driving, I understood what the lesson there was. And the lesson is that, you know, we need to start looking at people and start honoring them. And what we do too many times is our relationships are based solely on agreement. Whether we agree with somebody in some kind of capacity. And anymore, it could be political, it could be lifestyle, it could be anything that they do, you know, that maybe they do something on the weekends that you don't agree with or something like that. And then we just kind of shut that relationship off, and it's like, well, they don't deserve the honor or the respect from me. And here is the bottom line, is that God created every person in his image. And what that means is that each and every person on this earth that has ever lived on this earth has a soul. And that soul was so important that Jesus Christ died on the cross for every one of these souls. And we have to look at people, and instead of looking at them as they are different than me, so I'm not chumming up with them. You know, listen, I'm not asking you to go to dinner or say that what they're doing's okay and you know, anything. What I'm asking you is to look at people with the understanding that they have a soul, and it's a soul so important that Jesus Christ died for them just as much as he died for you and me. Okay? And so even people who are in a low standing, you know, maybe they got there because of bad choices or bad decisions, but maybe they got there because of bad luck and they just got the roll of the dice. And, you know, most bankruptcies in this country are caused by healthcare problems. Do you understand that? Okay. So, I mean, a lot of times people get to a position and we have a preconceived idea of why they got there, but we hardly ever take the time to figure out what truly is the issue there. And usually if you take that time out, you'll build a relationship with that person and you'll understand them at a new level. And you can have honor, respect, which bleeds into a love for that person. All right? And it says here that while honor is an internal attitude of respect, courtesy, and reverence, it should be accompanied by the appropriate attention and obedience. So when we're talking about Mother's Day here, we're talking about the most basic of all relationships, the first relationship that you have. You're with, you're in the womb for 9 months. And, I was always a little bit jealous of Ariane. You know, she got, it seemed like she was automatically closer with the kids, And then every time their first word would be, daddy, and it'd be like, okay, we're good. All right. So, but too many times what we do is we take these lessons that we read about in the Bible and that we talk about here on Sunday mornings, or maybe it's your Bible study that you're involved with, or maybe it's just the stuff that you've learned or heard, and too many times we just leave it in talk and in a theoretical process. And we fail so many times to put God's teachings into action. And thank goodness, thank the Lord, that God is not a theoretical type of God. Because he loved us so much that he had to display his love for us. And the way that he did that is to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die for each and every one of us on the cross. He couldn't leave it theoretical. He couldn't leave us in that state. And too many times what we do here is that we find out, when we see people, we find out what kind of life they live or whatever, and we judge them, and we kind of, without saying the words, either mentally or verbally, we kind of say they deserve the life that they're living. And we fail to have that ability to look at them and understand that they have been created in the image of God, and they have a soul that Jesus Christ died for. Okay, and I will remind you that Jesus had a special relationship with his mother. And there's a scripture that Jesus didn't own anything. Didn't even have the foxes have their dens, but the Son of Man has no place to even lay his head at night. And he slept out on the ground. But you know that he had an earthly will, right? We know he had a heavenly will, and we know about all that. But you know that he had an earthly will. As he's hanging on the cross, he looks at his dear friend John, and he says, hey, you see the woman standing beside you? That is now your mother. Take care of her. And then he looks at his mom and says, you see the man standing beside you? It's not your son. So we see an earthly will there, and we see a special relationship, all right? And if you didn't have a good relationship with your mom, there is still that level of honor and respect that have to be there. Okay? If they weren't a good mother, then there still has to be the honor and the respect that has to be there because of who they are. And that's not coming from me. I gave it to you straight from the Bible. Okay? Old Testament, New Testament. Honor your mother. Honor your father and mother. Okay? So it doesn't give out any kind of, like special cases, like if they were this, that, and that. But we are to honor our parents. And now it's become that this honor and love have been so separated from love in the way that we see people. We have the inability to apply honor and love to people that it's bleeding into not only our relationships outside with the people we don't know or with people that we're friends with, It's bleeding into our homes. It's bleeding into our marriages. It's bleeding into our relationships. And it's affecting our relationship with Jesus Christ. All right? Because you have to ask yourself, is there a level of respect that exists within your home? My kids will tell you. And I have a hard time holding my tongue, even sometimes in public, when I see a child disrespect their mother. It's all I can do sometimes not to say something to them. And my kids will tell you that Cecil Phelps will, he will come back to life in an instant if any of them disrespect my wife in front of me. Okay? And that's just you know, the first rule of the house is you're not going to disrespect her. But that is the basic of the most basic relationship, is that you have to have honor and respect. And what the Bible is teaching here is that if you want to truly love and genuinely love, then you have to have honor, the ability to honor people. And that is the ability to look at them and to see a worth of everyone, even when your earthly instincts are telling you they're worthless. I don't care about them, all right? Now we move on to respect. And this is a feeling of deep admiration that you have for someone. Okay, and it's elicited by their abilities, you know, maybe they're great at something, it's their qualities, what kind of person they are, and even their achievements, what they have been able to achieve. And we have this feeling, you know, because of the wishes and rights, and we're able to look at people, and we have respect for them, and we have admiration for them, and we can look at them and love them still, even with different traditions, even with different ways of being raised. Listen, I'll just tell you this. I have a dear friend that I grew up with, We have stayed in touch all these years. He is a Muslim. And I tell him all the time, he tells me all the time, how much we love each other. And I always get a kick because on some of my religious posts that I put on Facebook, he's one of the first ones to like it. And we've talked about that. And the reason why he likes it is because he says that he has a level of honor and respect. He doesn't maybe agree with what I'm saying, but it's the way that he receives it from me because he knows me at that level as a friend and someone who loves him and cares for him, that he knows that that's coming from a good spot. And it's the same thing with him. You know, we could be, we're total opposites on the religious spectrum, but I consider him a brother and I would do anything in the world for him and he would do anything in the world for me. Okay? And it's because of the respect that I have for him. Even his traditions, even his beliefs are different and we still can come together and have a honor and respect, all right? So, the Bible commands us to honor all people. This kind of lays it out. This tells you that there's no qualities here that are brought out. We are to honor people. And the way that we do that is that we view them as someone who has a soul. And it's a soul so important that Jesus Christ died for them. And then it says, love the brotherhood. And that means that we are to come together as a Christian, as all Christians, and come together and form a family. And that's why we impress that idea here so much, is that we are a family here. And we need and we are required and we are commanded by God to love each other, to have honor and respect for each other. All right? And then it also says to fear God, okay? So have the utmost honor and respect for God. And then it finishes off with honor the king. And this is where we are able to look at people who are in a position of authority or a position of power. And you may not agree with anything that they're doing. Personally, politically, financially, any of that stuff. But the Bible says that you are to honor them, all right? And doesn't have any kind of political party affiliation here. It doesn't say when your team's winning, honor them. It just says honor them. Now, I'm not saying that you have to agree with them. I'm not saying that you have to, you know, chum up with them or anything like that. But what it is saying is that we need to get back to where we have a level of honor and respect. And that is started at the most basic relationship. And in our homes, we have to teach that we are to honor our mothers and we are to love them. And inside of that, family is a healthy cycle of submission, because the husband is called to be the head, the wife is called to submit, and it's not because she's any less or not as good. It's just called because that's what the Bible asks. And then when the wife submits, the husband does what God did to Jesus when he submit in death. He raised Jesus from the dead. He lifted him higher than any name has ever been lifted. And that is what husbands are supposed to do, is lift their wives. And then we are to teach this level of submission to our children as well, is that they are to submit and to us as parents, because not because I'm right and because I do everything perfect, you know, or I'm the perfect example, but because Ariane is their mother and I am their father. And they have to learn to love us through honor and respect. And too many times what happens is we learn love through fear. Okay? And what is important here is that we get into a cycle of submission, to where no one is more important than anybody in the household. Do you have that person in the house where you, sometimes they wake up and they come down, you got to judge them and see what kind of mood they're in? Okay? And let me tell you, if you're sitting there thinking, we don't have that person in our family, you're the person. Okay? So, but too many times we have one person making all the decisions. Okay, sometimes dad's career takes over everything, and everybody has to submit to this one career. And then we have, you know, a child who everybody has to cater to, and we do everything. Anytime you get where we place more importance on anyone inside of the household, then we get an unbalance. And things get out of whack, and priorities get out of whack, and trouble enters into the family. But at the most basic of all of our relationships is that relationship between a child and its mother. And that is based on honor and respect. Mothers all make mistakes. Mothers, you know, will do stuff wrong. But we are called to love them. And what happens with too many kids nowadays, especially nowadays, is that kids look at their moms and it is a genuinely selfish love. What can she do for me? And if she doesn't do for me, then I don't love her quite as much. And, you know, and I'm going to lash out to her. And we are called in the Bible to show honor and respect at all time, even in the times when we think that they're wrong, because they are our mother. And then that will bleed into our relationships with everyone else, because we're capable of looking at someone who's different than us, and we don't have to, you don't have to tell people and alert them that you disagree with them. Right? I don't know. We've gotten to the point to where we have to acknowledge to someone, like, I disagree with you with everything, okay? So, I mean, and I think it's like Facebook that has brought that out. And Mike Tyson's not the smartest guy to ever live, but he did say that some of y'all have gotten too comfortable saying stuff on Facebook because you know that I can't punch you in the face, all right? So we got a lot of keyboard tough guys and stuff, all right, and all that. And, I mean, it's just damaging. It's damaging. And when you speak disrespectfully to your wife, your children pick up on that. And they then think that it's okay to disrespect their mother and women. And then the same thing back. Any kind of level of disrespect that you allow in your household will carry on. And it will carry on into the other relationships that you have. Why do you think there is so much trouble? When I was a kid, especially since my dad was a principal. I got spanked by the principal at school, and then when I got home, I got spanked by him again as my dad. All right, and if I had an argument or disagreement with the teacher was just naturally right. Okay, it was automatically decided that the teacher was right, and unless we could show anything different. And the disrespect for law enforcement, you know, I'm getting into a lot of topics here, but a lot of this stuff is at the most basic of levels. And it's because we are selfish. We love selfishly. Our relationships are built on self. What can I get? And when tough times hit, then this is why relationships don't make it. This is why friendships don't make it. This is why marriages fall apart. This is why kids run off, is because there is not a level of honor and respect that has been taught properly. And sometimes when things go wrong, you just got to swallow it, and you got to stand firm, and you got to show honor and respect, even if you disagree and you think things are totally wrong. Because you know why? Not because I'm standing up here telling you this, but because this is what the Bible calls you to do. Because what the Bible is telling you is that the soul of people is more important than you proving you're right. All right? So we have to, as Christians, start looking at people as someone who has a valuable soul. And we can only get there if we have the ability to show honor and respect. And it's impossible to have love for someone without honor and respect. Otherwise, it's just a selfish thing. Okay? So let me, real quick, I'm just going to get real honest with you for a second here, okay? Let me do this real quick. Sorry. There are some days and sermons that preachers struggle with. Mother's Day is one. I'm not a mom. I don't know if you know that or not. I'm not a mom. I have a mom. You know, got a stepmom. I got a mother-in-law. Seems like I've got girls that I dated a long time ago, and I broke up with a girl. I haven't heard from them for years, but I'm still friends with the mom for some reason, okay? So I understand that. And sometimes trying to come up with a sermon on motherhood and the qualities of motherhood, it's tough, especially for a 47-year-old man. So I have a dear friend who sent me it's a blog, and this friend is a mother in every kind of way that you could imagine, ups and downs and stuff that, you know, this world is full of, the good, the bad. And I love this friend, think the world of her. And she sent me this week. This is from an author by the name of Rachel Lewis. And she writes a letter that says, "Dear pastors who are preaching this Mother's Day, I know there's a lot of pressure on you to deliver an exceptional sermon on Mother's Day. Everyone is looking to you to come up with a fresh, encouraging spin on motherhood, just as you have every year before. We all know that good moms do a lot of thankless work. We know that they sacrifice a lot. And I understand why recognition is important. But I might suggest that a fresh spin on motherhood might not be what we need. Some moms get to be moms, and they are naturally good at it. Other moms get to be moms, and even with their best efforts, it is not enough. They need a ton of support from others to keep their family safe. Some moms are in amazing circumstances where work, family, and play all come together. Their needs are met and they are operating from abundance. Some moms are in extremely difficult circumstances. No amount of work, and they work hard, can make up for their low wages, lack of time off, and expensive daycare. They and their families are existing, but it takes their all day in and day out. Some women would be amazing at motherhood, but their bodies refuse to create a baby for them. Some moms are moms through adoption, but they sometimes feel like the worst kind of mom because they are struggling to attach to their child. Raising a traumatized child is hard, but no one really wants to talk about that. There are women who are secret moms. They relinquished their child for adoption, but they did not relinquish their title as mom. It will stay with them forever. Some of them are at peace with this decision. Others were forced into it by their circumstances and may grieve that every moment of every day. Some moms have chosen abortion. They may come to church and expect to be met with shame. Maybe they come with feelings of peace about their decision, but they won't dare open up for fear of what others might say. Some may regret this choice, which felt like no choice at all at the time, but they cannot get support because the church doesn't like to open up about the messiness of abortion. Some moms are temporary moms as they foster the babies of the struggling moms, knowing that the baby they've given their heart and soul to will one day never even know they existed. There are moms who have lost their own mom and feel completely at a loss for how to honor their dead mother. Other moms are grieving their dead children. Some of those women don't have any living children. They wish they knew the kind of sacrifice and servanthood you speak of. Their only way to parent is to create memorials or to whisper their child's name at night or donate time and money to a worthy cause in their baby's name. Some moms are waiting moms, waiting for their adoptions to finalize or be matched with an expecting mom. Some moms have their waiting children in other countries and may have to wait for years before they can wrap their arms around their child. Some moms are single moms. They walk into your building, watch all the couples sitting together, listen to sermon after sermon about how to be a good wife, all with the assumption that there is a capable and loving partner right there parenting alongside them. Others expect them to join committees and serve in childcare, but what they need is rest, no more commitments. They feel every time they come to church. Some moms are stepmoms. They love children with whom their relationship is naturally complicated. They hope, they pray, and they parent so hard. Sometimes parenting feels beautiful and rewarding, and other times it's a huge struggle to make things work. And then there's the dads, the ones whose wife is struggling with postpartum depression. She has retreated from her family as hormones and imbalance hold her captive. Then there are the dads whose wife has died. They are now playing both mom and dad. Mother's Day is just one more reminder of what the kids no longer have. There are dads who have to explain to their kids that mom has chosen to leave and will not be coming back. There are single moms, happy moms, fulfilled moms, and empty moms, bereaved moms, infertile moms, and women who long to be moms, and dads who have to be moms, all filling the pews of your church. I know you long to give them a fresh word on motherhood, but I hope you know that what they need, what they all need, is the same old message you give time and time again. God is with us in it all. No matter who fills your church on Mother's Day, no matter what baggage they are forced to bring, offer them the hope that comes with a God who loves and comforts them no matter how messy their lives feel. Tell them of a God who holds space for their humanity, their struggles, and all their emotions. Tell them of a God who loves every part of them and sits with them and holds them just as a mother would. And the rest, I promise, will fall exactly into place. Those are some wise words. And it brings out some things that we need to confront, pray about, and think about here at Star Church. What kind of church are we going to be? We take great pride in being a friendly church. We really do. And we are a friendly church. When I follow up with people who come here for the first several times, they say, man, I've never felt so at home, never felt so much friendliness, just amazing. But if we're going to be a true loving church, if we're going to be true loving people, then we need to be able to show honor and respect to people that we don't know anything about, that we've made prejudgments about, that we might have negative ideas about, and they may disagree with everything that we hold special in our lives. The Bible doesn't say anything about separating those. The Bible says, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And there is, this world has gotten extremely messy. And there are some issues here in this world. They're beyond me. I don't know what to do. But let's ask ourselves as a church, what kind of church do we want to be? And if the answer is that we want to be a loving church, then we have to be able to show honor and respect to people who might be in a very low place. And you know what? Those people are going to fail. They're going to fall down. And they need people who will help pick them up. Sometimes the falling down is not where the lesson is learned. The lesson is learned with how they stand up. And then here's the other thing. Who helps them get up? Okay? So, I'm honest with you. I struggle every year. This is my 12th Mother's Day sermon. I really don't know what to say. I've come up with sermons before, and then I get a letter that says I have offended somebody. That's fine. Okay? It is what it is. And I just took the words of a mother who just laid it out and said, you know what? Moms are human. They need to understand that regardless of what's going on in their life, Jesus Christ loves them. And we need to be a church that regardless of what's going on in anyone's life, we need to preach to them that Jesus Christ loves them and died for them, and he can change them. New life. New life on Mother's Day. That's the message. And I know that there are people here that are struggling, and there are people here that have got the world by the tail. And we need to love and honor them the same, regardless of which position they're in. All right? So I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. This world is a messy place, and we've got some problems that need to be confronted. And when I was a kid, they were big city problems. They didn't exist around here. Just so you know, they're here. Okay? They're here. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm always honest with you, there have been some people put in some circumstances here, and they need to be here at the church, but they're not here right now. And it's because of the fear of what will happen. And I'm not telling you that because anyone has said anything or done anything. It's just the natural fear that exists when something bad enters your life and you worry about the shame and the embarrassment and all that stuff. I'm just telling you that please, please, please join with me. And I need to pray it as much as anybody, okay, that we can look at people whose life is messy, and we can love them and help them and be there with them and help build them up and encourage them and be there when they fall and help pick them up and be a resource to them and show them, not through theoretical teaching with whiteboards and all that stuff. That stuff's great and it has its place. But there has to be a time when people experience Jesus Christ in the flesh and blood. And we are called to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ on this earth. Am I wrong? So on Mother's Day, let's pick up what comes natural to you moms, and that is to love. My kids would come to me, and I'd have on like nice clothes, and Jake would come, and I'd be like holding him back, like, hey, buddy, you know, don't get close to me. And I look over, and Ariane would just bare hand the snot coming out of their nose. It's like, you know, like, we're good. You're like, what is going on here? You guys are just wired differently, okay? And we need to take that and expand it so that we can be the church that Jesus Christ has called us to be, all right? So I'm going to open up the altars to you. And no judgment on who comes down, for what reason. If you got something going on medically, come on down. If you had a great week, come on down. I'm going to tell you I had a great week physically, okay? I had a great week this week. I did. Okay? Thank the good Lord, all right? And I'm thankful for that. So if you got something you're thankful for, come down. If you got problems, come down. If you just want to pray about having this type of love that's built on honor and respect, come on down.
Thank you for tuning in to Star Church's sermon. We truly hope that the sermon edified you today and brought you closer to the Lord. For more information about Star Church, visit our website at stargbchurch.com. Once again, that's stargbchurch.com. If you would like to visit our church, our address is 4925 State Road, 142 North El Dorado, Illinois, 62930. We now pray that God will bless you as you enter the mission field and bring His word to the world. And as always, we will see you next time here at Star Church.